السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم واخشوا يوما لا يجزي والد عن ولده ولا مولود هو جاز عن والده شيئا، إن وعد الله حق فلا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتق الله حيثما كنت، وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها، وخالق الناس بخلق حسن، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, before commencing the actual bayan, I would like to just share with the brothers a important sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know that the sunnats of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have been instructed in the Quran Kareem that قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ, that if you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow me, yani follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, in following the footsteps of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is actually, as it is said in Urdu, ke naqsh qadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste, naqsh qadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste, Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. In other words, in following the footsteps of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is actually the pathway to Jannah. Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. One will be linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in implementing the ways and the sunnats of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every single sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is some kind of a noor, there is some kind of a light which one cannot really perceive in this world. However, one will only truly understand the value of these things in the hereafter. Now, we have heard this over and over again. And because unfortunately or fortunately, whichever way you look at it, we're living in a materialistic world. We relate to things of this world, material items and material things of this world. So we'll give an example, a material example. A person has got, he's planning to go for Umrah. So he goes to the Forex and he does some exchange of his rands and he gets some riyals. And now he goes into one of the local supermarkets, the retail outlets, and now he goes and buys some groceries. And when he reaches the counter, the cashier that is there, he presents the riyals to the cashier. Now that lady or that person who's sitting at the cashier, perhaps this is the first time in her life or his life that they've ever seen riyals. So immediately they will respond and say, look, sorry, we do not accept this currency that's here. So the person will try and present the argument, but don't you know the value of this currency? It's approximately 4 times or 3.5 times the value of the rand. It's more valuable than the rand. Say, sorry, we don't have the facility, we cannot accommodate you. You will have to first go and change it and bring rands, because we don't facilitate rands. In other words, she was unable to understand the value of the currency in that particular scenario, because the currency of riyals was another country. In the same way, the currency of the hereafter is the akhirah. And we can never truly understand a'mal and these sunnats and these aspects in this world. But we are all believers in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should all consider ourselves blind. What does a blind person do? He puts his hand in the hand of a seeing person. He says, look, I cannot see, but you can see. So I'm holding your hand. And I accept wherever you take me, I know you will take me in a safe way. in the safe pathway. If there's anything that's dangerous, you will try and either push me away or remove that obstruction so that I do not get injured. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala showed him the effects of a'mal. Allah presented to him in the night of Mi'raj, he saw Jannah, he saw Jahannam. These were not metaphorical, he saw it in reality. And we should consider ourselves as blind. And if our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has informed us that when you will recite one subhanallah, for example, then Allah will plant for you a tree. The shade of that tree will be such that it will take a horseman 600 years just to cover the shade of that tree. This is the value of one subhanallah, which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has informed us on this incident of subhanallah. Once in the time of Nabi Sulaiman ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, we know that Allah Ta'ala had granted him such a kingdom. He made the dua, Rabbi habli mulkan la yambaghi li ahadin min ba'di, that oh Allah, grant me such a kingdom that no one will ever have a kingdom like this after me. So fasakharna lahu ar-rih, the wind was subservient to him. Allah had granted him a palace which will never ever be seen again. When Bilqis sent some gifts to Sulaiman alayhi salam, some valuable golden gifts, some jewelry. So when they arrived at the palace, outside the palace, lying outside, was golden bricks. So they said that, we are coming with gold jewelry. He has got golden bricks lying outside, when a person is doing some construction. So all the cheap material, sometimes the sand, Amgeni sand, the stones, the cheap lined bricks are left outside. The valuable things are left inside. And if he's leaving the bricks outside, the golden bricks outside, can you imagine what kind of wealth he has inside? So when they realized the kind of wealth he had, it completely astounded him. And Allah Ta'ala mentions various kind of wealth that he had, nevertheless. But that wealth, respected elders and brothers, did not make him heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That wealth brought him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, on this point, an important lesson that we can learn, that if anyone is blessed with any wealth, the person is driving a beautiful vehicle, he's got a Mercedes Benz or he's got a BMW or some kind of valuable vehicle. So now, we will say that vehicle, is it bringing him closer to Allah Ta'ala or is it taking him further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If now when he is driving that priceless or precious vehicle, if he's now looking down upon that person who's driving a rusted vehicle, and now he's regarding himself as superior, and regarding the next person as inferior, then we will say that unfortunately this vehicle is creating pride and takabbur in his heart, which is the killer disease, respected elders and brothers. What should actually happen is that when the person sits in this priceless vehicle, immediately he should say to himself, Alhamdulillah, alladhi bi ni'mati tatimmu salihat. Ya Allah, you are the one who granted me this vehicle. Had it not been for you, what would my condition have been? And there are many individuals who at one time in their life had nothing. They started off very humble way. They may have been selling something very simple, struggling, battling, taking a loan from this one, loan from that one, battling. Now suddenly Allah has given them wealth. They should now look back. What was my condition? What was my condition once upon a time? How pitiable my condition was. Who is that being who blessed me with this wealth? Who is the being who sent the customers to my store? Who is the being who sent these kind of transactions and financial deals that came to my doorstep? Who is the one who sent it? Allah Ta'ala. If Allah sent it to me, then I should be praising Him and I should be attributing all achievement to Him. So therefore, if the person sits in his beautiful vehicle, or he looks at his beautiful children, and he says, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, you are the one who blessed me with these beautiful children, all praise belongs to you, then we will say, Alhamdulillah, this wealth is bringing the person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, Allah Ta'ala blessed, coming back to the story of Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah blessed him with such a kingdom. But that kingdom brought him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, made him more humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same feature is found in the life of none other than our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know his condition in Makkah al-Mukarramah, being tortured, being abused, mocked at. And then the sacrifices and the struggles that he had to undergo in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Finally he made hijrah to Madinah al-Munawwara. There he underwent great trials and tribulations, hunger, starvation. Ma Aisha radiallahu anha states that sometimes for 3 solid months no fire would be lit in the home of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Nabi, who if there was anyone who should have been the king of this world, It should have been none other than our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But in the battle of Ahzab, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has tied two stones to his Mubarak belly just due to hunger. This was the kind of sacrifice and the struggle that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went through in Makkatul Mukarramah, in Madinatul Munawwara. But Allah Ta'ala then gave him a victory. He then walked and marched towards Makkatul Mukarramah. Now is a conqueror. What was his condition? Read the books of Seerah. It is said that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he entered Makkatul Mukarramah, now with a powerful, mighty army, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was seated on his conveyance. His Mubarak beard was touching the saddle of the animal. Tears were rolling down his eyes. And he was thanking Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, you are the one who has brought this day to me. It made him more humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion, Ma Aisha radiallahu anha, she stated that Nabi Kareem Sasim would stand up in tahajjud salah, hatta tawarramat qadamahu, to the extent that the Mubarak feet of Nabi Kareem Sasim would begin swelling. So long he would stand. So she inquired, she said, Ya Rasulullah, why are you exerting yourself to this extent? وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَمِّكَ وَمَا تَأَخَرَ. Whereas Allah Ta'ala has completely forgiven you. You are ma'asoom, you are sinless. You are the beloved of Allah. Why are you exerting yourself to this extent? Allahu Akbar. What was the answer of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. If Allah has been so kind to me, if Allah has been so merciful to me, if Allah has considered me to that extent, should I not then be a grateful servant of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? Therefore, respected elders and brothers, the more Allah has favored one, the more it should humble ourselves, the more it should make us grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never ever allow pride to enter the heart. Sometimes a person achieves certain things in his life. Well, Marana, what you know, I used to study very hard, that's why I got this kind of a degree. It's my hard effort, it's my hard work. I used to wake up early in the morning and I used to do this, and I. Allahu Akbar, respected elders and brothers, this was the very reason which caused many great people to slip and fall. As soon as the person attributed achievements to himself, it completely spoiled that person. Inna Qaruna kana min qawmi Musa fabagha alayhi wa ataynahu min al-kunuz ma inna mafatihahu latanu'u bil 'usbati ulil quwwa id qala lahu qawmuhu la tafrah inna Allah la yuhibbu al-farihin. Qarun, Allah gave him such a kingdom, such vast treasures, that it is said that the keys to the treasures that Allah had given him, the keys to those treasures, an entire huge group of individuals had to just carry the keys. People said, why are you being proud and arrogant? He said, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهَا عَلَىٰ عِلْمِ عِنِّي. This is because of my knowledge. It's my qualifications and my degrees. Because of that, I have got all of this. They told him, don't you realize it? Allah Ta'ala is the one who has given you this. And this is the question we should ask ourselves, that okay, if it is your intelligence that has given you these degrees, so then who gave you the intelligence in the first place? Who gave you the intelligence? If Allah Ta'ala didn't give the person intelligence in the first place, would he have been able to even study in the first place? So therefore, respected elders and brothers, let us always humble ourselves. Coming back to the story of Sulaiman alayhi salam. So on one occasion he was traveling, and whilst traveling on a kind of conveyance which Allah had given him, a kind of a craft which would move with the command of the wind, which was subservient to Sulaiman alayhi salam by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One farmer was in his lands, and he saw this huge craft with all the ministers of Sulaiman upon him, and he was mesmerized, he was amazed. Out of astonishment, he said, Subhanallah. He said, Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala caused that Subhanallah to reach the ear of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Immediately he instructed that this craft be brought down to this person. Now this person became very, very worried. Sulaiman alayhi salam came to him. He says, tell me, what did you say? So he thought now he said something wrong. He said, no, I didn't say anything. He said, no, tell me, what did you say? He said, I looked at this craft, it amazed me. And because of that, I said, Subhanallah. He said, Allah Ta'ala has sent down wahi that this one Subhanallah that you have said is more valuable than the entire kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam. It's more valuable than the entire kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, these sunnahs and these a'mal that we have engaged in, especially we have just come out of the month of Ramadan, sometimes we feel that nothing has been achieved. But the reality is, respected elders and brothers, look at our condition before the month of Ramadan. And look at our condition at the end of the month of Ramadan, and we will see, alhamdulillah, there is some kind of a change. Now the person has still got some inclination to come to the masjid, to open the Quran Sharif, there's some inclination. What was his condition before the month of Ramadan? Hence, respected elders and brothers, It is extremely essential for us that in this material world, again, coming back to the material example, if a person has acquired some valuable asset, the person has got some gold coin, or the person has got a golden bar, whatever it may be, something which is of great value. So especially in this country, the person will ensure that he secures it. He'll make sure he's got it under vault, under lock and key. He's got some security system, some alarm system. Perhaps he's even got an armed guard outside. He's got surveillance. Why? Because he understands that this valuable asset must not be lost. It's taken a lot of effort for me to acquire this valuable asset. I must not lose it. I must ensure that I have protected it. In the same way, we've achieved a lot in the month of Ramadan. The person now has come to the masjid. He's now find that Fajr Salah, alhamdulillah, he is coming for his Fajr Salah in the initial stages of the month of Ramadan or prior to that. For him to even wake up for Fajr Salah was such a mission. Now, alhamdulillah, he's waking up. His eyes are automatically opening up. Now, to read Quran Sharif, he's finding that it's not so difficult. Now, we've also got certain enemies. And the greatest enemy is the enemy within ourselves, our nafs. Our nafs. And this month of Ramadan was an opportunity for us to suppress and to control this nafs. And to prove to us that every single believer, no matter how far you may have gone, every single believer can achieve this quality of taqwa. And what is taqwa? Kaffun nafsi anil hawa. That a person develops the capability and the capacity to restrain his evil desires. The person has got good desires, nothing wrong. But evil desires. In the month of Ramadan, to eat and drink was not an evil desire. But Sharia says now you forbid yourself from eating and drinking. Now in the month of Ramadan, to eat and drink during the day was, so to say, an evil desire. Because now if a person ate and drank during the time of fasting, then his fast would have broken and he would have been sinful. So now that was an evil desire. So now he restrained his nafs. He walked into the kitchen. Nobody was there. The fridge was closed to him. Nobody would have seen. He could have just opened the fridge and quietly eaten something. But there was one thing that stopped him. Allah is watching. Jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se. Jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se. Koi dekhta hai tujhe aasman se. Remember that which you do in secrecy. Allah is watching. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. And this was the important, valuable lesson of the month of Ramadan. That is why Allah gave us Ramadan. La'allakum tattaqoon, so that you can develop this quality of taqwa, every single believer. No matter how far, to develop that capability to restrain your evil desires. So we did it in the month of Ramadan. We walked into the kitchen, the food was there, we didn't eat because we were conscious, we were aware that Allah is watching. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that now after the month of Ramadan, implement this quality of taqwa in every facet of your life. The person is in business and now there's some goods that have come which is, he knows very well, that most probably this is some hijacked container or some hijacked goods or some goods that have been stolen. Because it's impossible for a person to get the goods in this value. Another person says, listen here, I'll give it to you at this price here. And he knows now it's most probably stolen goods. Now his nafs says, but you know what, you can make a lot of money on this. You can become a millionaire overnight. You can get a lot of money. But then he says to himself, but Allah is watching. Allah is watching. Yes, I may get money quickly. But the barakah will be taken away. It's like the person who gets a whole lot of sewage water, massive kiloliters, tons and tons of sewage water. And on the other hand, now if he has to consume that sewage water, what will happen? He'll get bilharzia, he'll get some kind of disease. He may even end up in hospital and even lose his life in the process because of the poisoning that will take place in his body. Although it appears to be a lot, but the reality is it is filth. On the contrary, a person comes with half a glass of fresh, clean water. And now if he drinks that fresh, clean water, it's going to rejuvenate him. Why? It is because it's clean and pure. Our latest Maulana Patel Sahib, Nawarullah Marqada, who used to give the example, he used to say that a Muslim and a believer, if somebody has to say to a Muslim that, listen, you have won some kind of a prize, and now you entered a competition and you have won the prize, and the prize will be 1,000 pigs, 1,000 swine. Now every Muslim and believer, if the person has to say, listen, when can we deliver these 1,000 pigs at your house? Just give us the delivery address and we'll have it at your doorstep in no time. So any Muslim who has got some kind of iman in him will say, brother, you know what, just don't even mention this word. Just keep this thing far. I don't even want it outside. Just give it away. As Mawlana Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, just as we consider and we detest and we find repugnant pigs and swine because it is haram, Allah has made it haram. In the same way, anything that is haram, that transaction that a person would have got, would have undertaken, which would have been haram, he should regard it as repugnant, just as he regards pigs as a repugnant. That a person has to say, listen, you can earn 1 million rand profit on these containers that are stolen. 1 million rand. So he says, brother, I don't want this 1 million pigs in my life. Just take it away. Keep it. Don't even mention it to me. I don't want it. I'd rather earn this little and we have barakah in my life than getting this loads and loads. And as a result, afterwards, what is the end result, respected elders and brothers? Those individuals who disobeyed the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who engaged in these kind of haram activities, deceiving the customer. And the customer comes in, the person wants to sell the vehicle. He says, no, nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing. This vehicle here is as good as new. You won't get the price like this here. Because I know you very well, I won't do this for anyone else, but I know you very well, so just, but don't make sure you don't mention to anyone. But I'll give it to you at this price. In the meantime, all this is nothing but lies. In order just to convince the customer so that he may purchase the item. But we know very well that within the next few kilometers, or you just drive down the road, something's going to give in. Something's going to give up. We've done some quick fix here, quick fix there, quick fix there. And then the person comes back, no, we said we're selling it as is. We're selling it as is. And you agree to it. Now finish. Don't talk anything. So respected Allah, and the Nabi Kareem Sahasam said, Man ghashana falaysa minna. That person who deceives us is not from amongst us. He is not from amongst us. Allahu Akbar. Imagine a person is told by Rasulullah Sahasam that you are not from amongst us. We should ask ourselves a serious question. Do we want to be with Rasulullah Sahasam on the day of Qiyamah? For a few rands, respected Allah, you rather take that loss and be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then being unwise and foolish and engaging in these kind of transactions, and the outcome and the end result will be nothing but destruction and disaster to ourselves and sometimes to our families as well. Because you must remember, when this kind of haram wealth will circulate within our families and within our family businesses, then it is nothing but poison that is circulating within the body. It is poison that is now circulating within the body. You are going to see the result and the consequence of it. Maybe not immediate, but in the future, and sometimes in the near future, the person will see the consequence of these kinds of haram activities. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, the time is very limited. This important lesson that we can take, that after the month of Ramadan, we all develop this quality of taqwa. Each individual to varied degrees. But we all, Allah Ta'ala showed us that all of us have the capacity and ability to inculcate and to implement this quality of taqwa. Now it is essential for us, respected elders and brothers, to protect and to look after this taqwa. Just as we will protect and secure our wealth, our material wealth, we need to ensure that we protect this taqwa of ours. That is why one great arif of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in Urdu couplets, he says, ke main jahabi rahu, jis fiza mein rahu, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. He says, Ya Allah, wherever I am, in whichever environment I find myself, oh Allah, please make sure that my taqwa is protected at all times. So the person, just as he is walking into the airport, he's traveling overseas, he's now in the hotel room all alone, his wife is in the back home here, now there's no one watching him. But he's concerned that, Ya Allah, my taqwa must not be hijacked by shaitan. This nafs must not violate and break this taqwa of mine. So he's very, very careful that he must not be hijacked. Just as in South Africa, the person, when he comes to his house, he looks right, he looks left, he looks behind the rearview mirror to see that there's no potential hijackers. He must not be a victim of some hijacking. In the same way, we should be very, very vigilant that shaitan and nafs do not hijack the taqwa which we have acquired in the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the onslaughts and the attacks of nafs and shaitan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the suffering of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout the world. This should become a ma'amool and a part of our daily du'as. Then not only we make du'a for ourselves and our families and our children and family members, but we also include the greater ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we make du'a that Allah ta'ala blows the winds of hidayat in this country, thereby changing the conditions of this country from insecurity to security, from instability to stability. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ